I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
I'm Mark Haynes.
And I'm Julia Raisai.
And over the next 4 months, we'll be taking you through the highs and lows of Strictly Come Dancing. All the winners.
The losers.
The huge name stars and the other ones.
The inevitable relationship traumas.
The gags.
The pitiful gags.
The awful, awful gags. The wonderful outfits.
The complex structure of bets that could leave you better off by £1 million.
And everything that happens both on and off the dance floor.
It's the curse of Strictly.
Keep listening, subscribing, telling your friends, and dancing!
Appalling.
It's absolutely awful. Hot sauce. That's
no, thank you. It's too early for me.
That is very much a catchphrase I'm intending to. I think, actually, if I said to Jeanette Manrano, if I met her, I could say to her, just start shouting hot sauce a lot. And within the
she
year.
She would, though, and she'd make it sound great.
We'd have a T-shirt in Topshop.
Fair enough.
Julia, respect is due. What is happening?
Well, I've watched Strictly Come Dancing, if that's relevant to this podcast as well. And
it
I have
be.
Some thoughts about it. So if now seems like the appropriate time.
Defo.
I will share them with you.
Defo. Before you do, I just wanted to say, people might sort of say, well, what sort of mood are the guys in today? I am in the good mood today that is so pure,
yeah.
That is so noble,
yeah.
That I got the free prep coffee.
No!
Absolutely.
That
yeah.
has never happened to me.
I continually go in being delightful and I continually leave going, this system,
you
it
shit.
Does not work.
So what did you do with your face? Like, try and do the face you did to them now. And it's that's the, it?
Yep. Absolutely. I was the first person to give a smile today.
Okay.
And also, it was someone who served me a lot of times over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, okay, because it's near the office. So
that makes it difficult, because next time I have to pay for one, I'm going to be a bit resentful.
It's like, oh, you've changed the rules suddenly.
I thought we
so
were
not
friends.
Friends.
This is just not on.
Coffee
I just feel amazing.
Love, okay.
Have you ever had one free?
I've never had one free.
Oh, right.
I don't go in very often, though, because I do work from home a lot. So,
yeah.
You know, you
no,
city
same
types,
here, same
are.
Here. I mean, I think I've been in, what, probably over the course of the years, I've probably been into Pret. 1,300 times, say. I think I've been given the free coffee 1,298 times. The other two were by people who didn't know how the system worked. Awful. Someone else who is not going to be smiling.
Oh.
But I was smiling, so it wasn't that good a link.
I know.
Is Annika Rice.
Oh, God, I'm
lovely
so sad.
Annika.
It was, I think we both agree, correct.
Entirely,
but
yeah.
Such a shame, because you can see that she's like the light bulb in that little gang of dancers and celebrities. She's just clearly such a good egg. And
yes.
It's always sad when one of those goes so early.
But, yeah.
Yeah, she did dance like she had, I don't know, her limbs in splints.
It was not an edifying dance.
No,
it was not a great one to go out on for her at all.
Yeah.
They danced to Kill Bill, didn't they? So they were doing a slight bit with martial arts. And I did think that, like, having seen it last week, you would think that you might not want to introduce another element.
Props, don't add props.
To remember and recall.
I know, but, I know. I did feel for her.
One of those little things that no one mentions, but they should, because it's because they don't treat Strictly like a sport.
Yeah, and they should.
But Kevin Clifton was the winner last year, and this year he's the second out.
I know.
And there's something about that I look at, and I think they always sort of say it depends what dance partner you get.
Yeah.
And they underplay that, where they'll say, yeah, but it's all about the choreography, and it's about the person who teaches, and it isn't, because he won last year, and this year he couldn't do anything.
Exactly, so that's disproved that theory straight out of the bat. But no, it's true. I think even with a partner like Kevin, at this stage of the game, the people with really, and I don't want to say no hope, but no obvious dance talent, no sort of inner sense of this could turn into something, they do get filtered out, and rightly so, even with Kevin as a partner.
This is a slightly disappointing next couple of weeks, because all you have to do is you have to just now cut down the visible tallest weeds, if you like.
I know.
Before you can begin getting to the fruit that you're going to discard.
It already feels like kicking puppies, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It did with Annika, bloody hell. She's so nice.
Yeah. But look, had she not gone this week, she definitely would have gone next week.
Yeah, and she had an abysmal score. She got a 2 and a 3 threes, which is obviously fairly bad. It was a Charleston, which is usually, you know, I mean, early on it's tough, but it's usually your chance to kind of charm everyone, be goofy, a bit of comedy usually in there as well. But she just had no timing. She was super fast for anyone, for any age. She was pretty nifty, but for a woman of her sort of generation. Well, let's say vintage. Yeah, you know, she's over 50.
Yeah.
She moves fast and she is clearly lithe and fit, but just, oh God, the timing was just so off.
She had no sort of hip action.
No.
There was no bend.
No.
It was very, very stiff, as if her joints were like the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, or it's like when they electrocute frogs' legs after they've cut them off. Yeah. It was a bit like that.
If Annika is listening, you can take either of those. Sure. Whichever one hurts the least.
I maintain my love for her.
Yeah.
I think looking back, she'd watch that dance and go, yeah, it wasn't very good. But, you know, bloody hell, does she throw everything into it? She tries really hard.
I think she was genuinely a bit surprised how badly it went.
I like how she stuck up for herself, though. So one of the things you don't get very much is people going, no, but it was quite fast and I was quite good. And she's so lovable and kind of like a sort of a keen sixth former. Yeah. And she was actually very politely sticking up for herself. Thank you.
But I think she was a bit shocked. I think she was waiting for them to go, Annika, that was brilliant.
Better every week.
Brilliant. You know, whatever. That was killer brilliant. But... She did seem a bit genuinely surprised when the first sort of negative thing came on. She was, oh, okay, oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, you do know that I've worked really hard on doing this.
They've all worked
mess.
So hard. When the audience react well to you as well, I don't know, I can't imagine. I've been to see this show taping once, and you try to imagine what on earth it must be like, surrounded on all sides by just of these upturned, shiny faces.
Yeah.
And then you're not a dancer and you're asked to fill this void for the next 90 seconds just to get through it and then everyone to clap. You must just feel like you've won, you know, the lottery, because it's just, it must be bloody terrifying.
I think I actually forget, you see, because they are people off telly. When I see Annika Rice and she dances on television, I don't ever think, oh, she must be nervous.
No.
I just think, here is Annika Rice on television like she is supposed
Being
to
on
be.
TV, like normal.
Now she is dancing.
Yeah,
I don't question that. And you forget they're real, don't you?
You do a bit.
Until like in the bit with Catherine Tilsey where they bring in their husband.
Oh, God,
and you look at him and you just go, he's just some run-of-the-mill bloke.
He's a guy in a cap.
He's just a bloke.
Sake.
I've seen blokes like this all over.
How can she be married to him?
It shattered the illusions for me. Actresses aren't special.
Yeah, I know. Just human beings. You know.
No, it shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
Right? If you're famous and you have a non-famous partner, please, under all circumstances, keep the non-famous partner away.
If need be, get a stunt partner who looks a little bit more impressive.
If I want to see someone who's not famous, I will literally see everyone I know.
Walking down the street.
in the street. I will look out the window.
Talking of famous people and, like, just, you know, the strange things to plop into the middle of Strictly, because it's movie week, obviously, they tried to get someone from the movies to do the terms and conditions. And they got a genuine, I mean, to me, she's a genuine movie star. Hayley Mills.
Yes, she
Hayley
did the TNCs.
Hayley Mills came out and did the terms and conditions and was charming.
Mm.
And clearly, Claudia was, you know, really slightly overwhelmed. She was going, Hayley Mills, Hayley Mills.
Do you know what Oscar Hayley Mills won?
Well, presumably it was Best Actress.
It was for lighting. No, it wasn't. No. She
for
won
a second
it,
there.
She won it for the Walt Disney film Pollyanna.
Oh, that's right.
In, I think that's 1960.
Where she falls out of a tree and she gets disabled,
but
and then she's still happy.
Yes. It was simpler back then, wasn't it? There was no social media bullying.
Yeah, no.
Do you know what Oscar it was? It wasn't Best Actress. It wasn't Best Actor.
Best Supporting?
No, they didn't have Best Supporting back then. It was a special Oscar.
Just for her?
No, not just for her. It was a juvenile Oscar.
Oh.
And they brought it in 1929.
It's small.
It was half size.
They're small hands.
It was half size.
That's adorable.
It was brought in when they had Jackie Cooper, who was a child actor, who was in Chaplin films.
Yeah.
And they nominated him for Best Actor at the Oscars. And he lost to the adult Lionel Barrymore.
But they should stop doing that. They do that again now. Who was it? Anna Paquin.
Yeah.
Won her Oscar for The Piano.
Yes. And
they
were saying...
a tiny little person.
I think she was like 9 or 12 or something, and they were saying that because they didn't have Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress at the time, that, you know, they were saying it's not fair that children have to go up against adults.
Bring it back.
So they had this one, but they didn't do it every year. They just gave it
just
out
for a special
every now and then. Yeah. So there's quite a lot of British people had won it, and Hayley Mills was given it. She was the last person to be awarded the juvenile Oscar.
They had an actual Oscar winner on Strictly. They should have maybe bigged that up a bit.
Yeah,
but I enjoyed the TNCs this week very much. Better than Tony Hadley from
Yes, yeah, for a movie week special. This is one of the episodes that everyone looks forward to. And I thought this was really, really flat in comparison with previous years. I thought the choice of movies was largely based on sort of kids' ones.
Yeah, that's true.
I think there was a problem that they didn't do a lot of ballroom through this. There was a lot of the Latin dances. And so everything was pretty one note. Yeah. But for me, it was almost skewed just too much towards the kiddie winks.
Yeah.
When you get someone in the BBC who has said it will be perfectly acceptable for a couple to dance to the theme song from the Pokemon movie.
No, I didn't.
That
I wasn't
is just
keen.
Like, it sounded like an advert.
It did
an
bit.
Advert theme. Gotta catch 'em all, Pokemon.
And when Will, obviously, you know, they were doing the Paso, so a lot of the time, you know, they're sort of miming the words of the song almost just to do something with their faces while they're looking fierce. And he was just like shouting into the world, Pokemon! Now, it was really odd.
Again, it was a little bit like you go and see a school play.
Yeah.
And they say, and thanks very much to our friends at Tomy or Sapporo, who have sponsored the following carol.
Yeah.
And out they come dressed as the Pokemon. I
and
thought
they
it was.
They start with the Pixar, the mini montage, the dance of the opening on Saturday night, didn't
can
they?
Can you imagine if you were trying to sell Strictly Abroad?
Yes.
And you went to America and they said, so what sort of thing do you do? And you go, we did a movie week thing.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, great, let's see your opening number. Mm. And you put that up and they would say, is there one that wasn't filmed with an app on a phone whereby the characters come into your home movie and wave?
It's very sad.
It was excruciatingly
bad. Because
they've
done such incredible things. Do you remember, was it Halloween or Movie Week or something last year, where they did this incredible Harry Potter routine?
Yeah.
With, like, the special effects. They looked like they were playing Quidditch.
Yep.
At the end of it, you know, everyone would, like, spontaneously rose to their feet. It was just absolutely spectacular.
Yeah.
That music, the choreography.
This had people dancing, and then there would be a superimposed...
I know, like a little cartoon.
Yeah, literally,
like
something
Jack
you get on
it.
I have a friend whose kid will nick his phone. Every time he nicks his phone, he uploads loads of pictures of their kitchen on Facebook in which there's a short clip of a dinosaur walking around the kitchen that just clicks on. That's exactly what it looked like.
It did look a
bit
lame.
The characters didn't interact with the dancers in any way. They would just appear on the screen and sort of go, shrug.
They must have got Pixar to give them some animation, because it wasn't like taken out of something, was it? It was like new animation.
Nope.
So that must have cost them a fortune.
Well, I think they must have looked at it.
And it looked bad.
They must have looked at it and sort of gone, how do we incorporate the dancing in with this cheap existing animation program that you get?
Yeah.
And no, they didn't. They did one which was in the Incredibles bit where the baby sort of turns and this laser comes out and they jump.
Yeah.
And the rest of it was just like, you dance in the background, we're going to superimpose this cartoon across it, which will look rubbish, and that will be enough. It was also, if you were there in the live audience, very, very disjointed because they kept on resetting. Now, there was no point where the audience could see those animations appearing on the screen.
No.
And yet they would go, oh, when the kid from Up appeared.
Yeah.
And if you watched the audience, they were not reacting in that way
at all. What they have is little TV screens up in the rafters. So if you're really keen to know what's going out, you can see.
I do not believe that a group of British people would look at the the lead character from Up.
No.
And when he loses his balloon, go, oh, I do not believe it. Don't lie to me, Strictly. Do not lie.
Honestly, they do get you quite hyped up, though. So you're willing to clap anything by the time the show actually gets started, because you're in a holding pen for a long time. Shall we go back to the beginning then and start with one of your favourites, Michelle and Gio, who did A Quick Step to Cabaret, which was clearly brilliant.
Yes, it just very much was.
Brilliant.
I think, it's again, you've got this sense that she is an adult dancer.
Yes, totally.
And she isn't...
They wouldn't dare give her a kids film.
Well, imagine they'd have dressed her up as Pikachu. She would have looked great. She would have looked great.
She would have
She could have pulled it off.
Yep.
But I think there's a perfect example there of... You have to do something that makes this dignified. Dancing shouldn't just be, it's fun for the kiddies once a year at Panto.
No.
It should be this sort of thing. And I
and
like it when
Halloween
they go towards.
Week for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, I like it when they go towards this very serious, sexy dancing. I could watch a night of that. I couldn't watch any more.
No.
Of a lot of the stuff that we saw this week.
Yeah.
And that was a real shame for me.
Actually, the Pikachu thing was odd because it was a pasodoble.
Yeah.
So they're trying to make them do serious face and be dressed as a Pokemon.
Serious, sexual and Pokemon. Do you know what it looked like?
Weird.
Have you ever seen parody porn? where they'll sort of do a knockoff. The Pokemon one. Type in.
What?
This is not,
I will not be typing this in, Mark.
Whatever you do, please do not type in the words Pokemon parody porn. You will see, this is a big subgenre. They make the money because people are like, oh, that's hilarious. Have you heard of it? Like we're doing
okay,
now.
Okay, so it's to be talked about.
Well, exactly. But right. It's proper pornography. And every single time they do a good job on Strictly, it's only as good as quite bad parody porn. The Pikachu thing was disgusting.
Can we just drag it out of the gutter and back to Michelle and Gio? Because she is, I don't know, she got an eight and 3.9, so she scored pretty high this week. As it turns out, not the highest score, but the things seem to step up a gear this week with some of them anyway. Is she too good too early, or do you think she can...
Do you know what she is? She's American.
Yeah.
And so she comes in with the American mentality. In the little video that they played to start it off, she said, I want this dance to be the showstopper of the night.
Yes, she did say that, didn't she?
Now, no British person would ever say that. They would say, well, I'm going to try and do this as best as I can, and I hope I don't make an absolute arse of myself doing it.
Oh, I hope I don't fall over.
She has come in with the American mentality, which is going, I want to be the best at this.
I'm
going to
kill this.
And I am going to slaughter all of you in my wake. So far, she's done exactly that.
But there's something still... I think when Kimberly What's It from the Pussycat Dolls did that, she had to learn, well, she didn't learn that quickly, did she, to stop being so American, stop being sort of, not boastful, but stop sort of bigging herself up and being confident. I don't think Michelle Visage needs to. I think she still somehow is loved by everyone. I'm not finding it grating at all. I'm finding her... There's an incredible dignity about her.
Exactly.
It's just sort of magnetic.
In the opening pieces, she isn't doing that silly thing where they go, so we'll take you to a bar and Hitler will come in. And so she's just sort of going, no, you can film me doing the thing. I'm too busy for this.
I've got stuff to do.
Again, this brings in that element of if it matters to the person who's dancing, then it matters to the audience at home.
Actually, that's true. And it clearly does to her.
It really does to her. And I think you can watch that and you can go, out of everyone who seems to be having fun, you sort of go, but she wants to do this well, and you get behind her. Yeah, you start supporting her.
I think so.
Shirley Ballas, absolutely fantastic where she cut back to her. And, of course, the judges absolutely thought it was
Shirley
tremendous.
Was on her feet, and I think maybe Motsi as well, actually.
And Shirley Ballas said... Magnifique. Wunderbar was what you were looking for Shirley.
It's okay. She was swept up in the moment, but she did get the wrong language.
Yeah.
Then we had, this was the first rumba with, it was Alex, Scott and Neil. And I just put down, it was cute, but not like sexy rumba.
Let me be the first to say, she is not going to make it to Blackpool.
I don't know if she is. I know she's. There's a lack of charisma, isn't there?
There is.
The curse of the sports person.
Yep.
Really lovely.
Yep.
And actually, I think technically was pretty good. She didn't roll her hips like you're supposed to, and she didn't. The things didn't sort of all link together, and her hips were a bit too.
She has no undulation. She has no sort of, if you like, sort of. It's going to sound weird. It's going to sound like some kind of weird something a doctor would say who would turn out not to be a doctor.
Yes.
But she has no sort of. She has no natural ripple.
Yes,
she has She can do the steps, but she isn't going, this is a fluid process for me.
Maybe because her core is so trained to athletics rather than, sort of undulation.
I really thought as well that she, when she went to talk with Claudia afterwards, you could almost see there was a light being flicked off in her where she was losing interest in this, where she was going, do you know what, this isn't for me.
That'd be sad if it's true.
Neil, he wasn't a character. If you saw It Takes Two, he was explaining he was wearing blue because he was representing the sea.
That's right, he was the ocean. I think they should have made his hair blue to make that clearer.
You be Moana, right? But I'm going to be the ocean. I like that. But they did one little bit which I thought...
Is that because he didn't want to be... Is it Maui who has... As my son pointed out, he can't be Maui. He shouldn't have his shirt on.
Right.
I don't think he's supposed to be Maui, darling.
I think I've seen him with his shirt off and he is abbed up to the Mix Max Mox.
Maybe didn't feel like it.
But what is Moana about? Again, it's a
it's this
if you're
girl...
if you're an adult without children, you will have no idea what this film is.
It's a girl who... Oh, God, it's a vague recollection. It's really good. I can remember that much. It's sort of like a Brave type story. So it's a girl who wants to go and she's a princess, but her dad overprotects her and she wants to go on an adventure to go and find this thing that their people need. So she goes on the adventure on her own. She steals a boat, blah, blah, blah.
It's sort of like an acceptable trustafarian going on a gab here.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
She meets this guy called Maui. I think he's the god of the sea or something like that. Blah, blah, blah. She gets this thing. She goes back. She's a hero. Everything's great. And her dad learns not to be so protective of her favourite. It's Finding Nemo. It's the plot of every Pixar and Disney film ever. And it's very good.
Did they have the single greatest dance move that's ever been done in Strictly?
Which one's that?
It's the one where... I think Neil had said, look, I'm going to give one of my dance moves this year. I'm going to say... Let's let a 9-year-old who's never done dancing come up with one.
Oh, I know what you mean.
It was the assisted, I'm calling it an assisted the body backward roll.
Sexually charged. Like she was in like 3-year-old gymnastics club.
It was madness where he rolled her in a backward roll over his own body. His head, and she really sort of thumped down on her feet and then just stood there like, done it.
Da-da.
Done it.
Yeah, it was ill-advised and, frankly, a fault of the choreographer, not perhaps
it,
so much
it really was.
Of Alex. I think you're right. There are some people who will find a ceiling through which they cannot push in terms of artistry and how they can express stuff with their bodies. I'm not sure, unless something massively changes next week, that she is the person to go further. I think you're possibly right.
No, she got 5s and 3 6s. She seems to me like one of those people who will go out in a week that you're not expecting it.
Yeah, perhaps.
Where she will be against someone else and something will happen and the other people will, you know, the judges will save them. And I'd be
interested to see what her voting's like with the public. I wonder.
The next person who came up is a person who I think on paper you'd think was in a similar place, which is Chris Ramsay.
I know. What the hell? Who texted about this last night?
Chris Ramsay upset out of the judges?
I don't know.
I genuinely, there were two cases of this where the judges really came up with stuff that I didn't think reflected what had happened in the room. Now, if you're going to say dancing is about just technique, then that's fair enough. I'm not going to be able to tell whether, and maybe they are terrible. There is no way that Chris Ramsay, who got a score of 22, he got 4 and 3 6s, there is no way he was worse than a lot of the people who followed.
Not at all. So he did, this was the one Hollywood moment of the night, I thought. He did with Karen, looking beautiful.
So beautiful.
They did an American Smooth to Top Hat, or the music from Top Hat.
Yeah.
And it was what everyone who tunes in for Movie Week is sort of waiting
absolutely.
For.
Absolutely.
That moment of Fred and Ginger loveliness, and the audience loved it. I just put "I loved it" in big letters, and then just my jaw scraped on the floor listening to the judges talk about a dance I hadn't just seen.
He was throwing
the right shapes. His frame looked good to me.
His arms might have been a bit low.
Yeah, okay.
He might have had a bit of concentration
Time.
But to sit there and sort of go, I mean, that was absolutely dog's dirt.
No.
What are you talking about?
I know.
I felt really bad for him.
Motsy said that stupid thing to him, which basically means we've stopped investing in you. We don't care if you stay or go, which is work on the dancing, like she said last week. It's like, come on, the guy's, what has he done? Like, he seems nice and charming and a good guy.
They were massively undermarked.
Karen they hate? Do they not like her?
I don't know. They were massively undermarked last week. There's something really weird about that, where you can sort of see, I always wonder if there's a producer's narrative that runs through it, where they've already decided, so we've sort of seen it like this, I think it'll be crackers in the first week, and then probably David James, then you're looking at Joannica. And it just feels to me a little
not
bit
really
like...
watching with fresh eyes.
Like they've already decided that Chris Ramsay is not going to go very far and he's going to be out week 4.
Now, that's going to make me vote for him, Mark. He's an underdog. I am British.
I hope so. But then we've seen with pretty much everyone who the judges have laid into, the British public have been like, we'll take that.
I know, and I don't... we have to counter this narrative. I think the campaign starts here to save Chris.
Yeah,
save Chris.
Entirely.
He seems to be in their crosshairs every week, and I don't know why.
No, you think that one he did last week, which was the sort of, you know, the Neighbours, I think it was a Great Charleston, and then this week was that. And the other thing is, if you're doing Fred and Ginger, it's very different from if you're dressed as Pokemon, because you're sort of putting yourself in the shoes of two people who are legitimately, obviously, the greatest dancers of all time.
Yeah.
And to do that and come out creditably,
you
know, he looks a little bit like a Tory. He looks a bit like the Chancellor of the Exchequer.
That
was the only thing.
He saw himself on the monitors, didn't he? And went, dear Christ, you know, I'm getting this crap out of my
mouth. He had rigid mouth as well, of sort of, concentration. Yeah. But the dance itself, if you'd have pulled that off in any circumstances other than that night, people would have gone, do you know what? He's a great dancer.
Really impressive. Like, again, not a dancer, literally not one of those people who may have done a bit at stage school, like the next person we're going to talk about. He is not a dancer, and he pulled that performance out. I wrote things like crisp and light on his feet.
Yeah.
And he wasn't stomping around the dance floor. He was sort of twirling.
He was gliding.
It was
lovely.
I need to know more. Like, what the hell?
8 years' time, of course. People will be listening to this in open court, and they will be going, even at the time, people believed that the Russian state had hacked Strictly.
Exactly. Maybe we're getting closer to the truth. Be careful. We may not be on the podcast next week.
Maybe Motsy, where she lives in Germany, is East Berlin. She's still working for the Stars.
Perhaps.
This is the most likely explanation.
Okay, conspiracy theories to one side, though. Next, we had Kareem and Amy. Mm. He was brilliant, obviously. He seems to have this very natural ability. They used some of his acrobatics. He did a one-handed cartwheel. Mm-hmm. They dressed him as Kung Fu Panda. Again, kids. But he did a samba. His hips were absolutely what the other non-dancers don't have, which is made for dancing, fluid,
ball
nimble.
Bearings.
Absolutely on ball bearings. Clearly he's had them, you know, replaced before the show started. Bruno was on his feet. Even after all that, though, the scores were 6-7, 6-7.
Yeah, mad.
Which didn't quite reflect how nuts they went for him when they were giving the comments. So
yes, I totally agree.
It was a bit confusing.
And there were again, other people who performed later who did far worse, got far worse comments and far higher scores.
Isn't that weird?
Like, really, really bad.
Through the show. I mean, to be honest, it's a long show. It's 2 hours of this.
Far too long.
So maybe they're kind of slightly hallucinating by the end and just feeling more generous. Or I don't know. Or maybe they've all got drinks and they're drunker by the end. I don't know. I'd be interested to know.
The one thing I thought about the costume is, because it was so thick, it was like wearing a duvet. And so for him to actually show any moves through
yes.
The moves must have been three times as big as the ones you could actually see. So
completely.
I thought that was an amazing sort of
spectacle. Yeah, the fact
spectacle.
Yeah, his waist wasn't defined. He wasn't wearing the tight trousers of a Latin routine. He's wearing this great flumpy costume.
If you're essentially in a teepee with your head coming out of the top and you can still people go, look at his hips go.
You
are doing something special.
Yeah,
I liked as well, talented. Because this is one of those weeks where the wardrobe department, who got a very early thank you, you know,
they
obviously just go, this is our big week and it's all about them.
Yeah.
And Amy in this was dressed as a tiger.
Yeah.
And you know, you get different types of tiger print.
Yes.
So you get the good stuff that's quite thin and looks good.
Yeah.
And then you get the stuff that's really thick, like off a roll at the market.
Yeah.
And it looks sort of like,
very,
you know,
flammable.
Yeah, really flammable.
Super dangerous.
And you're also going to get static electricity every time you touch it.
Yeah.
That was the one they'd gone for.
It's horrible.
And you could see a lot of the stuff that they used throughout this. The costume is the lowest quality costuming.
It's awful. Well, I think, and if I remember rightly, again, Sun Features would have maybe watched this film at some point. I think the tiger is voiced by Angelina Jolie. They probably sold it to her, say, Movie Week, so we're going to give you an Angelina Jolie role this week. She'd be like, oh, that's fantastic. I can't wait. Where are we going to be?
Where's the costume coming from? Is it coming from? I'll tell you where it's coming from. It's coming from Leeds City Market. If you turn right at Dewsbury the Butcher, and there's a great big roll there.
They're saving money this year.
And welcome to the Musical Podcast. I'm Kiri.
And I'm Jade.
And I'm Dave.
Dave's on keys. But we don't play that too much because otherwise we'll have to pay some people rights money.
Yeah.
We do a live show where comedians come and sing their favourite musical theatre songs in front of a live audience. This podcast
is us bringing that person inside of a building.
Welcome to Just a Minute with Jade Adams.
I panicked.
Enjoy.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
And then I think this may have been maybe equal favourite of the night, or possibly the favourite of the night. I normally don't like rumbas. They make me cringe, as Shirley said.
Yep.
Catherine and Johannes's rumba to A Star Is Born. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, eights across the board.
She's amazing.
She has... There was a point where they had a locked-off shot of her, I think, in the studio, and it was from the neck up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And her head was about a metre at the end of this long neck. It was longest neck I've ever seen in my life. It's amazing that you've danced with that neck and I've not noticed that neck before.
Really impressive.
Johannes, you could tell he's at a crux here where he's like, this has to go well because I've had 2 weeks that have not clicked.
This is his series to make an impression, be, you know, the housewife's favourite.
And the opening shot of that piano with the lights around, you knew it was going to be special before it even started.
I know, it was so pretty. All those fairy lights and it was emotional right from the beginning. And also they keyed you up for emotion by having the VT play of her son and her husband coming in and cheering up. They always invent this, like, oh, she was a bit sad in training this week, so we got her family. And actually, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's just to push our buttons, isn't it? Everyone was crying by the end.
Yeah, and what was really good about Johannes is, unlike the other dancers, again, he's got that Michelle Visage thing when it comes to VTs.
Yeah.
Which is, he sits there and he's sort of very calm and smooth and serious way.
His head's in the game.
Yeah, he will explain to them what the dance is, and everyone else is very much sort of, well, oh, you know, here he comes. I don't need to do a Welsh accent. There's no.
I mean, that was Welsh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know.
Obviously, that's a producer. That's not the dance spot.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think the fact that he does bring that quiet dignity to it, I think is actually quite a powerful thing.
Yeah. I think the two of them were so intense and so committed. There was so much emotion before they'd barely moved, and then because there's so little movement in the rumba, you're projecting even more onto them because they're quite still at times.
I think there's quite a lot of lifting that the set does.
Yes.
It puts you in the mood.
Sure.
Now, I do think when you are dressed as the sea and Moana and things like that, that is a harder thing to overcome.
It's hard to get lost in the moment, isn't it?
It really is.
And they look a bit daft.
This, again, you know, this was what people tune in to this show.
Lovely
to see
dances with beautiful people.
We don't want to see briefs being met. You want to see dancing being done well.
Yeah.
You know, at the end, there was genuine emotion from both of them.
Yeah.
You know?
And they were crying, obviously. They got really good scores. They ended up with all eights across the board. Shirley was actually crying and couldn't get her words out.
Yeah.
They had tears in their eyes in their interview with Claudia. And they basically told her, this is your breakthrough dance, which is kind of what you want. Oh, my God, if you're on a journey, have like 3 weeks of, oh, she's really trying, but she's not quite hitting it. And then the breakthrough.
Yeah. And I think for Johannes, that's important because as a new dancer, and a dancer of colour, I think it's very important that he doesn't have a terrible nightmare.
No, completely.
And so when you get this, you could see with him, he was just immediately welling up because the relief.
Yeah.
The relief of going, well, if nothing else, we had this moment.
Yeah, and he'll get to be here for a while. He knows that now. And I think already, I mean, his personality, if you're right, in the training, he's kind of seems quite serious. But there's always a little twinkle in his eye.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of the new Anton, I think.
But he doesn't have that sort of sense of cheese. I think
he's not cheesy.
I know lots of people like the cheese Strictly
He's
Come
a
Dancing.
Little bit camp, which I like too. He's taking it seriously, but he's got a twinkle in his eye. And I think, in terms of how he's coming across to viewers, I mean, I only speaking as one woman at a certain age, like, yes, please. More Johannes, thank you very much. Yes, please. Let's move on to the polka doble. Mm. So Will and Jeanette had this very confusing brief. They had to dress as the boy and one of the Pokemons from Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then do a very sexy and kind of passionate paso doble. Very confusing.
Imagine if Ash from Pokemon was collecting them so he could then seduce them.
I know.
What are we doing
that's
here?
Basically, keep that at the front of your brain while you're dancing this. Even given that ridiculous brief, Will was, for a sportsman, acting his arse off.
Yeah.
Like he clearly decided, I feel stupid, I don't care.
Yeah.
And those passo faces, that ridiculous, the fury and the rage, while you're shouting the word, noiselessly, Pokemon! I was so impressed by him again, just his commitment. Even Craig was nice to him. He got 6-6, 5-6.
Yeah, he did better than Chris Ramsey.
Which is better than Chris Ramsey.
Crazy.
And he wasn't as good as Chris Ramsey, I don't think. But his commitment was great. I always hate these ones. I hate the ones where they completely mismatch the film to the dance. They make them do something stupid and a bit sort of cringy.
Yeah.
And somehow they still pulled a good dance out of it. So, no, I was well impressed with those guys.
The thing I like the most about it is the judges afterwards, they couldn't find any puns because they do not know what Pokemon is.
No idea. And why would they?
Why would they?
Ridiculous.
Why would they? You've been working in entertainment for 50 years. The whole idea that you go, well, the one trend that I didn't want to miss was Pokemon.
Yeah.
But they couldn't do any puns. They just had to go, oh, that was, you know, Jeanette. And, yellow.
You're yellow.
For a movie week,
this
was the single worst choice that's ever been made. Whoever came up with this thing of going, let's do the Pokemon movie. Terrible. Maybe there was laughter in the room. at the idea of how funny that would be and how controversial or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely terrible. I thought it's so undignified for someone like Jeanette, who has been doing this series for years and years and years, to have to be doing that. And I'm sure she went in with it with aplomb.
Because she always does.
Because she will.
She'd never be given just because the clap costume or the clap dance and go, oh, no, it's not fair.
Yeah, and just because someone does it doesn't mean that you should make them do that.
No,
you know, I noticed there was a line from Annika when she was being judged. And she was talking about being in the costume for Kill Bill.
Yeah.
And she said the line, they put me in this week. You don't get any choice.
That's right.
You don't get any choice.
And they don't, no.
Now,
they can ask for, like last week, she said the back of her costume was too revealing.
Yeah.
And I saw on It Takes Two, the costume lady was on talking about it. And it was just like a mesh back. And she's like, oh, come on, I'm in my whatever decade she's in. And just, can we have a bit more? And they spent ages sewing on more embellishments. So you can negotiate, but you can't really decide.
But that if you'd have been doing this this year, and they'd said to you, so we want you to dance to Pokemon Go. It's actually going to be hilarious. You know what? The kid's going to go crazy. And it'll be so funny. And she'll be... I would have said, get this mic off me. Get this mic off me. Give me my normal trousers back.
I guess it's in the contract.
Yeah.
But, you know, the producers are king in this. There is a producer, obviously, who decides dances and movie choices and all that stuff.
Yeah.
They don't get a lot of wriggle room, I don't think.
The thing about that, of course, is if you're the producer of Strictly who says, let's do the Pokemon Go thing, you do not understand your audience.
No, you don't.
You do not understand the people
That's
who are watching the show.
Bringing together the grandparents and the kids. Like, my son didn't stick around for this dance. He was gone by this dance. He's like, oh, I'll come back later.
I thought it was, and not because of the people involved in it,
no,
but I found
no,
it embarrassing
great.
Because of the decision that was made.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have been on television. It looked appalling.
Just
it sounded
grumpy.
Like an advert. And again, I think if you were going to say what is the worst concept dance that's ever been done in the history of Strictly, sometimes the dancers get it wrong. When the production get it wrong, that's inexcusable.
I think so too. There are enough of them, God knows, that they could probably put their heads together and come up with something better. Anyway, afterwards, so this is probably my other favourite dance of the night, came Kelvin and Oti with their Mary Poppins Returns routine, their Charleston. I thought, at the end, the choreography. I mean, she really pushed him.
Yeah.
And in those Charlestons, those jives, the really upbeat dances, especially when, you know, I mean, clearly he's a very fit guy. But, you know, towards the end of the 90 seconds, where you're still being asked to pogo like your feet are made of rubber.
Yeah.
He was still doing it. And like we've pointed out before, with these great long rangy limbs.
They seem to get longer week by week.
They do. And the energy and the choreography, so demanding. Understandably, they got one of the few standing ovations of the night.
Yeah.
Bruno was up on his feet. It was so impressive. And what she asks of him, I think she knows he's good and he's a quick learn and stuff.
Yeah.
But my God, he was so impressive.
He really was. I mean, before Bruno had said, that is as good as anything I'd seen on the West End or Broadway.
Yeah, which is where like, Kelvin's going straight off.
Well,
Strictly,
he is at any struggling or not so struggling West End show that has one of those roles for a man in. My wife's saying, does he sing?
I know,
does
exactly.
he sing? That is the question being asked all around West End and Bloomsbury at the minute.
If
does
Joe
Kelvin
can transfer
sing?
To the West End, then I think probably Kelvin.
Yeah, he'll be parachuted in for 2 month stretches in all sorts of different shows.
I agree. If that's what he wants, that's opened him now.
I imagine they are at the moment sitting in an office just going, we'd like to bring back Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
And we've got a great guy.
Mary Poppins is back.
Is it?
Yeah, it's back in, what's that one on Old Compton Street? That theatre that used to have Aladdin in.
The one on the corner?
Yep.
Is that the Palace?
I think so.
Something like
and,
that.
And one of Bonnie Langford's relatives is playing Mary Poppins because she's got a lot of... The West End is just...
Johnny Langford?
Johnny and Ronnie Langford
Ronnie.
Are interchanging the role of Mary Poppins in drag.
Brought to you by Donnie. Amazing.
No, there's a whole family, all somehow distantly or nearly related to Bonnie Langford, who just populate the West End and do incredible...
Is it a factory that churns them out?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, they're clones. They're clones of Langford. But no, Mary Poppins, he's a shoo-in, an absolute
It was fantastic. It was really good. She also, oddly, because when you watch the dancer, you do tend to watch the celebrity.
Yeah,
because you're watching it's going, I was watching her in this.
Yeah.
And her movement is...
Oh, she's terrific.
Second to none.
Yeah.
It's just, she was doing, oddly, it's not so much the moves she makes as the pauses that she would give between.
Yeah, yeah.
There'd be bits where she'd spin her leg up and then twist in that classic Mary Poppins Chimney Street way. But she'd sort of hang, and it was the time that she waited. It's funny that it's like jazz where the silent notes are as important as the noisy ones.
Absolutely.
She was magic. Honestly, if you enjoyed that dance, go back and just watch Oti.
Oh, God.
It's something else.
I will probably watch that one again. There were a couple last night, that were ones I would want to grab on YouTube and like I do with Gangnam Style still when I'm sad. But they got 2 9s and 2 10s, the first 2 10s of the series, and also they got Craig's first fabulous of the series. He didn't have anything else to say, just that. He never needs to say more when he said that. So, you know, the two dancers of the night, I think, were Catherine and Johannes and Kelvin and Oti. Just absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, and Kelvin seems like such a nice guy that I think his ability at this level won't be a handicap for him.
No, I don't think so.
Because I think everyone's like, look at him. He looks so stunned all
and
the time.
And they know he's not come from a dancing background. No. He's not a dancer at all and he's just somehow found this natural talent.
Mm.
And then we go on to Posh Emma and Aliash.
Yeah, this is a long section here of seven or eight dances.
They're just a bit...
I mean, this felt interminable.
It
absolutely interminable.
Mm-hmm. But they did a foxtrot to the theme from Downton Abbey, which is like, is it supposed to be irony that someone who clearly has a lot of maids herself dressing as a lovely maid?
If you had someone like, say Adele did it, and she comes from a working class background, would you continually sort of go, let's just look for songs that are about being poor about working in factories?
Yeah, I know.
Just Patti Smith's Piss Factory.
Whoever.
Please welcome Adele. I mean, I get sick of that.
They're going to run out
lazy.
Of,
well, not with her, because there's so many of them. They'll be digging up stuff off Mick Jagger solo albums.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Beautiful woman, lady, aristocrat. You know, it'll be appalling.
Yeah, it'll be the Lady in the Tramp next, won't it? But yeah, so they,
for movie week, that would have been a better call.
I mean, yeah, they would have. But I guess Downton's more current, I suppose, isn't it? Ironically, I wrote down fixed grin. Like she had a visit from lovely Phyllis Logan in training, who was in the Downton Abbey and the movie and everything, and who was giving some acting advice because she's not an actress. I thought, at least she'll that side of her performance might start to come out. And she was trying to look hopeful, but that she just had this one hopeful expression on her face for the whole dance.
Yeah.
She started hopeful. She did it. She ended. It was like there was no emotional journey at all. It was just her going, I'm a maid dancing in the big house.
Slightly the face that posh people do as well. Yes. If they sort of speak to you and say, come far, come far.
Yes, yes.
And you go, I come from London. They go, very nice, very nice. Lovely. Yes, yes, yes.
They were saying nice things about her footwork. They were saying nice things about her posture. I couldn't really tell if she was doing anything right other than just being sort of in frame and staying in frame.
Yeah.
But she got all seven, so they obviously liked her. They are quite encouraging of her.
Yes.
In a way, they're really not a Chris Ramsay.
No.
What is going on?
And she's got the big advantage of being very thin, very light.
Very gamine.
And so that her dance partner can pick her up and she just has to essentially lie there while he contorts her.
Yeah.
Which is, again, that's easy.
Yeah.
That's easier to do. And I think another advantage to being slim, as if they needed another one.
Well, I know.
But, and again, she got all sevens, 28 points. More than Chris Ramsay.
I preferred Chris Ramsay's dance as a lay person watching much more. I didn't think she was awful. I thought she was very, very good and adequate.
Mm.
But I wasn't swept up in it at all.
No.
But Chris and Karen's dance, oh, God.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
I think she'll be someone who, when she goes, as soon as she's gone, we will not miss her.
No, I don't think so. A bit wallpapery thus far, unfortunately. Not much of a personality coming through.
Yeah, polite.
Yeah. But then we've already talked about Annika and Kevin. I think the mistaken use of too many props.
Yes, yeah. 2, 3, 3, and 3 for a total score of 11.
I've just put lovely and shite. just love her so much.
Kevin's jaw was rigid throughout the judging thing, where you could see him going, this isn't going well.
Yeah. He could see that this was the end.
No, she at times looked like a very happy toddler.
Yeah, she's so happy out there on the dance floor.
The Kill Bill jumpsuit also looked a little bit like a onesie. So
yeah,
she just...
And they gave her that blonde wig on top of her own blonde hair.
Yeah.
It was just slightly more blonde and slightly bigger.
which seems to me a little bit like they've said, can we possibly just touch her hair up a bit? And she's gone, absolutely no
perhaps,
way.
Perhaps. But she's just so sunny and positive and she's nice to watch. Even though it wasn't a pleasure to watch her Charleston, because there wasn't a lot of Charlestoning going on and she was just jumpy and bouncy and stiff and like she might be on a pogo stick. It was, you know, it wasn't pleasurable in that way, but she is such a lovely person to see on TV.
I don't mind seeing
on the dance
a bit of I can't dance. I
yeah,
don't
of
mind
course.
That.
What, yeah, yeah.
You know, I suppose the thing that I like least is the sort of thing of going, if she can't dance, don't give her Aikido lessons down the Peace Pagoda and Battersea
really
Park.
Really don't do that.
In the studio and give her a dance that she can do to the best of her ability.
Exactly.
And don't just make her dress up as, you know, a character from a film that actually is problematic with the passing of time.
Really problematic. You know,
they should have started off with a foot shot, shouldn't they? It's a really good nod to Tarantino's.
Long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Long
gratuitous foot shot.
Yeah. And then make her get in a car and drive it, and then it crashes into a tree, like happened in that film, apparently. Anyway, Annika's gone now. She's dead to us. She's literally, I can't remember who she is. Who is she? She's gone. Saffron on AJ.
She's gone on a treasure hunt for the pearly
Don't
gates.
Don't say in the sky. She's not dead. She's not dead. She's dead to us. That's different. So Saffron and AJ did Hunger Games Paso Doble.
Yeah. Another totally forgettable. You know, this was all sevens, again, higher than Chris Ramsey.
They got a standing ovation, which I thought was a bit much.
Nuts. Nuts. Yeah. Absolutely nuts.
She
if you stood for that in the audience, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, quite so.
Has the standing for applause become so debased?
Yeah, no, that's devalued and debased.
This is not ITV, people.
She did a good strong face, like she had the attack in her face that they require for the Paso.
Yeah.
But I wasn't kind of feeling like they were about to, you know, do that Paso charge straight off the stage and into the sack, like you kind of want to feel.
The tabloids this week have been doing a lot about, are they having an affair?
Well, they
fling.
Always do that. They the same way they do the first person to go was stormed off and had to be calmed down, like they did with James Brown.
Yeah.
They do it every week now. I saw
AJ being interviewed by Piers Morgan. So it was AJ and Saffron. And Piers Morgan, comes out with the old, you know, so what's a YouTuber, you know? And why have you got a little phone in your pocket? God. Why do you send all your electronic emails, all this nonsense.
Yeah, all right, Grandad.
So he did all that, but you could tell AJ within a few minutes the switch had been flicked, and he was very much, I am not going to take any more of this.
No,
he did a really, really good job of just standing up for himself. And I think by the end, again, Piers Morgan quite liked them. The annoying thing is you always feel it's a victory when Piers Morgan passes his, oh, actually, you're all right. Yeah, I don't mind you. And you sit at home and punch the air and go, why am I celebrating that he has given his emperor's degree?
Oh,
he's loved by Piers. appalling.
Or his Piers. Anyway, they got all sevens,
which
again is the same as Emma and Ali Ash. And you're right, the two most forgettable of the night.
Really boring. The thing that she did in the opening VT when they were doing archery in the rain, so unglamorous.
Yeah.
She was saying, I don't have very good balance. And they showed her falling over a few times.
So,
of course, when it started, I was like, let's check this balance out. And for a moment, it's like being the judge. And you see loads and loads of, you know, she very quickly wobbled. And I was like, balance.
Yes,
never reveal your flaws.
No, exactly.
Never reveal them.
Well, I mean, she didn't realise, did she? But it was sort of, there's not loads to say about it.
I will say on this podcast last week, I said I didn't think she had a very good core. I said she was very weak in the middle.
They have now said that to
you. They continually said it. Yeah. So I will be expecting my check. Not from Craig. He's the least paid of the judges. I'd like one from Bruno and Watson.
Oh, interesting. I wonder why he's the least well paid.
I think it's because he signed quite early on.
He's the one they lean on the heaviest for like any kind of dramatic anything.
He is. I've got a complete breakdown of what everybody gets paid.
So interesting.
Yeah. Dancers are all on the same amount of money, which is £50,000 a series.
Well, because they have to keep them all, you know, tall poppies, thank you very much.
Yes, but they also get extra for the live.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think Bruno Mozzi are doing very, very well out of this. And Shirley Ballas, I think, might even be doing the best of all. Which is surprising.
Well, she's technically head judge.
I've got to shut the dance school when I come in on a Saturday, so you're going to have to pay extra for that.
I've got to get Eddie. Damn, you're going to have a different name. So next, this one, oh God, this one made me chew my own fist off.
Oh, it was vile.
You texted during the week when they announced the dances saying that that Mike doing Magic Mike was just the dance that everyone really wanted to see.
It is, you know, Mike Baggins with his... I mean, it was just, again, in a funny BBC way, I think they were too scared to say Magic Mike is a film and now a West End show about strippers.
Yeah.
They didn't say the word stripping
didn't
at any point.
Didn't say it.
I know a girl who works as the sort of female MC of
fluffer.
Magic Mike,
okay.
Who is a lovely lady called Samantha Baines. And Samantha is really funny. If you ever meet Samantha, do ask her experiences working on Magic Mike, the stage show.
So what, they she comes on funny. And announces the dance?
She has a role within the show.
Wow.
Yeah. And she says, you would not believe how many refunds are asked for at the end of each show from people saying, I did not see any significant penis.
Are you kidding me? They thought they were seeing an actual strip show.
They think, look, if you're paying 30 quid a ticket, the least that's going to happen is in the last minute, just before the lights go straight to black, I will get to see a side view of some knob.
Can we praise Jesus that Mike didn't take it that far on Saturday night with Katya? This was awful, though. So Katya fell over.
Yeah.
Like, she properly fell over.
Yeah.
But, you know, recovered pretty quickly.
I watched this a few times as well. Jeez, oh, but she fell, and within the moment of hitting the floor, her arm is already up Her hand is already turned out and her leg was already in a beautiful angle.
Incredible professionalism.
That was astonishing. I mean, if she'd have been shot, she would have been immediately sort of, I don't know, doing a pirouette. It was remarkable.
Just make clots of style, anything out and make it look good.
Yeah.
And my husband wanted me to say that he made the very funny joke, was he supposed to catch her?
Right, good.
Funny, right?
Yeah.
Before the dance started, Mike did say, I need to nail being sexy.
Got ya.
And I slammed shut like a bulldog.
Well, I presume they had the bit at the start where, now Katya had turned up and for the first time, sex Katya is back.
Yep. She got to look insanely beautiful. Yeah. That dress was staggering.
Lock up your narcissistic self-loathing comedians. She's back. And she her dress was beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time since, because they've had to make her essentially wear...
just things that make her look sexually non-threatening.
Exactly.
In every way.
It was nice. But I think they started off, she was sitting next to Mike's wife.
Oh, that's right. Was it his wife?
I presume it was his wife. Oh, there was no other reason for having that woman in there. They are sort of going, you're having a conversation, essentially going, is it all right if I go and dance with your husband, although I will respect his boundaries. Yes. And of course, I'm sitting there thinking,
did you read it like that? I don't know. I put audience lady.
I am
lady.
Going to seduce your husband. There's nothing you can do about it.
No, but also audience lady, whoever she was, maybe she was just looking, I don't know, sort of surprised and shocked and surprised. Like, yeah. I couldn't really work out what they told her to do with
it
their face.
It must have been the wife, because if you'd have been sitting there and they said, can you make it look like you're like, oh, look at who this sexy man is. Yeah. You'd go, I'm so sorry, I'm not an Oscar-winning actress.
I really can't.
Get Hayley Mills, because...
yes, she'd be great.
I have got to say that Mike Baggins is the most attractive man I've ever seen. I also like the fact he continually refers himself to himself as a journalist.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a new thing that people in 10 years, really since Piers Morgan's come along...
oh, yeah.
That people are like, you know, Naga Monchetti and Dan Walker. Dan Walker's all about, I'm a journalist and everything.
Yeah.
Doesn't believe in evolution.
Oh, my God, does he not?
He's a big Christian guy. Oh, I don't think he believes in dinosaurs. Now, that might be absolute nonsense.
Mike and Katya's dance over. They then obviously charge up the stairs to Claudia. Got a 3 and 3 fives.
18, yeah.
So not particularly good. Still treated as a bit of a joke. And then as they were coming through the throng of dancers, Katya fell over again.
Yeah.
And it looked nasty. And then she looked kind of embarrassed.
She was hobbling slightly and sort of one knee very much out in that way you do when you're... ooh,
absolutely.
Ooh.
But then on Twitter, she said, oh, guys, I'm fine. It was the second one was a joke. I did it for a joke. But I don't think it was.
No, I don't think it was
a
joke.
She was just styling it out.
It's a Russian joke.
I felt bad.
I fall to death. Russian joke. I did think the slip in some ways might have saved him a bit, which is because I think you naturally would go, oh, bad luck for them. And if it had come down to the two of them dancing in the final, you know.
They only had one way to go, which is up. They'd have gotten better if she hadn't fallen over.
And then you had David James and Nadia.
Yeah.
Doing Batman, specifically the best Batman, the one with George Clooney and Jim Carrey in. This has Kiss from a Rose by Seal. Which seems, I can't believe that's not been used in a Strictly before.
It definitely has.
Yeah.
It definitely has. Maybe even like in Halloween week, not with Batman, but with some other.
Yes, and I have a feeling there's been some classic dances to this.
Yeah, I think so.
I thought this was really good.
It was a really good use of his incredibly tall frame and that his ability to stay rigid while she kind of, you know, capers around
him. He did. I thought he did really well. It was absolutely not embarrassing. A huge improvement from the previous weeks when we've seen him. He did it elegantly. The actual bit where they brought him in, got on the wires as he
they
came
flew
down.
Him in. Yeah, yeah.
Well, when he stepped down, it did look a bit like Dracula, but as he stepped off, it was so smoothly done and gentle that
he's
went,
got muscle
control. Totally.
The guy is clearly fit and he's very much in charge of his limbs.
Yeah.
If a bit stiff, but he, they used that. And if it was Nadia who choreographed it or somebody else, but the choreography played to his strength. Made
and
the most
she was actually noticeable in this. I've never noticed her in the dances before.
Oh, really?
And here she's dressed as Poison Ivy. Nice to see a Russian on TV for Poison, it not being a national incident. But she danced so beautifully and he just clicked with this.
Yeah, see, he seemed to.
But his story has already been written.
Four fours.
He gets 16. He got less than Mike Bushell. Dance.
Which is incredible.
Which is
Mike
ridiculous.
Mike Bushell was, to be honest, we're playing down Mike's ability to keep up with the footwork and things. He's not terrible. So
no.
He's not Ann Widdicombe.
No.
But he definitely is. It's amazing that they
objectively
were
watching the David James dance, if you had seen this and not seen anything else that happened on the show, the fact that he didn't make it, you would find perplexing.
Yeah,
you would find it perplexing. He got the score that he got.
Absolutely.
There. Absolutely, absolutely madness. Yeah. They also showed him driving right at the start in the Batmobile. Clearly, I'll do whatever it takes. Yeah. So they get the Batmobile and out they go, and they showed them driving around outside Elstree Studios, which is Boreham Wood.
Yes, that's right.
If you've ever been to Boreham Wood is more speed bumps.
Oh God, I was really worried about the clearance. Really worried, terrified.
And they were going over that. That is a joyless drive.
Yeah.
Poor old David James.
Fun at all. Then we move on to, this is my greatest fear, is when what would happen when Emma and Anton were given Latin.
Yeah.
And actually, although, you know, it wasn't perfect, my fears were unfounded. She was really good. She did a salsa to, you know, that song from Austin Powers.
Yep.
In 60s gear. And again, her bloody legs. These amazing gams.
She looks incredible.
Mm, she really does.
She looks the business and she looks like she's going to over-deliver.
Yeah.
And then every time she slightly under-delivers.
Yes, slightly. They said under-dance at one point, which I think Craig said, and I think I totally agreed with him.
Yeah.
There was like she's just slightly timid about it somehow.
Yes, yeah.
Like she got it right, and obviously she's still very much in the stage of learning to dance where she just wants to get it right.
Yeah.
But I think it shows great potential.
It goes one of two ways, doesn't it? Which is that you have these unspectacular weeks, and what will happen next week is if she has another unspectacular week, the judges will say, you need to do something about this.
Yeah.
And she will come back in week five, fantastic, or she will go out.
Yeah, you're right.
There is no in between. She looks amazing. If you saw her in stills, it would be the great dance.
In poses,
you know, you would go, wow, she's done amazingly. When you see her, there's something about it that she has everything she needs, and yet there's something lacking.
Yeah.
There's just that missing piece of the puzzle. Yeah. Whether it's sexuality, whether it's calmness, whether it's... I don't know what it is, but I watch her and the longer it goes on, the more tense I get.
You're wondering when she's going to bring out the magic.
Yeah, why is it held back?
No.
You've got one chance. You're going to be on Strictly once.
Yeah.
Twice if you win it and get to come back for 1 week next time.
Yeah.
You might as well throw yourself into this. And there's just a reserve there that I actually find it makes it horrible to watch.
Do you think?
She's now becoming someone that when she comes up to dance, I begin to go, oh, God.
Oh, no, I really liked watching this. But I definitely did have the same feeling of there's one more gear left for her to go into and she's not going into it yet. But I think I would put that down, just being kind to her, I'd put that down to this is only 3 weeks in and she's probably still counting the steps in her head. And, you know, she's not got sort of any experience before this, so I think I would imagine she's still trying to just get the steps right, and that the performance, because she's an actress and she can do that bit, that the rest of the performance might come. I think they see potential in her, and I think I do as well.
I think she looks good, and I think it's like a car that looks fantastic and you can't get it out of second gear.
It's like trying to take the Batmobile over speed bump.
Yeah, through Boreham Wood. Yeah, absolutely right.
But they did get a standing ovation. Bruno did get up on his feet. They mentioned that there was some nice of Fosse-esque kind of touches in the choreography and stuff. It was pretty good, I thought, but she got one mark less than the other Emma, which I find quite shocking. So she got 6 and 3/7, 4/7.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, she's in the upper echelons, but she's kind of a bit mid-table.
She is, and I think the problem is there are other people who are showing more personality. I think there's other people who have got who are going to improve greater. She needs to be really careful in this.
She does.
I think she's going to find herself in the mid-table and absolutely unable to pull out of it.
She does have Anton, which is always a benefit. And obviously there was huge, the moment of absolute tearful hysteria this week when Craig thought that Anton was wearing false teeth.
Yes.
And he simply wasn't. Yeah. He does have teeth.
We're
like
just
that.
British.
Yeah. And it was kind of delightful that they even Tess, who is the absolute sort of the edifice of professionalism, just kind of lost her her lunch completely. There was just weeping.
I found a bit with Claudia afterwards where they were up there and Anton said something, and the way everyone reacted, I thought he'd said something absolutely unacceptable. And I think he said, I don't half itch. And he said it so quickly that all I heard out of it was like, a bitch,
that.
And I thought, what's he just said?
His head was itching under his wig. Yes, that's right.
Claudia just said, there was silence. The dancers in the room didn't react at all.
No.
And Claudia just went,
I
better clarify this. He just said his head is itchy.
Yes.
It sounded like she was lying to cover the fact that he was doing it. I know she wasn't, because I went back and watched it about three times. I couldn't work out what it was, and they sort of left it, and it was really tense.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, that feels strange and unusual. Maybe I was just over-tense, because Emma Barton does make me tense.
Oh, I'm sad about that, because I think she's got more to give, Mark. Give her a chance.
Listen, if she suddenly becomes good, Julia, I am there for it.
She's not suddenly going to become good.
If
she's
gradually getting better. If she sticks at this gear-crunching nothingness level, lukewarm water, I will throw the towel
in. A journey. You have to pack your sandwiches and stay for the whole journey.
Some journeys you don't come back from.
Anyway, but to finish the show, this is the dance I was most looking forward to seeing, actually, because I heard that Dev dropped Diane on her head during rehearsals.
Yeah.
She had to go to hospital.
Oh, do you know, I was so upset. My dad was supposed to go in for an MRI and he had to choose which hospital he went to.
Oh.
Would it be Ealing or would it be Barnet?
Oh.
And he went to Ealing and I said to him, oh, if you'd gone to Barnet, I'd have come up and seen you. Where does Diane end up going to on that same day?
Oh.
Barnet A&E.
You could have been staring at her while she had her head scan.
I wish she was still dressed as that little sexy monkey.
Sexy monkey.
Chasing around the children's ward.
Okay, you've got a problem. We've established you've got a problem, but I didn't know it was animals.
Let me tell you, this dance combined two of the things I am interested in the most.
Sexy monkeys.
Which is sexy monkeys and dancers. The two came together wonderfully.
But they did their couple's choice, the first one of the series. So they did a street commercial routine to Aladdin.
Yep.
Obviously, playing to Dev's strengths, he is kind of quite athletic, a little bit acrobatic, not perhaps as much as Karim, but he was dressed as the genie, so he looked, you know, he was blue, obviously, and she was blue by the time they finished dancing because the paint was coming off and he was sweating blue.
I thought it would have been really good if they'd cut back at the end and Claudia would have been doing a link and just have blue all around her back, you know, or a blue handprint. Oh, you know, a bit of fun. Come on, guys.
But three of the four judges, obviously it's Never Craig, were on their feet. The audience gave them an ovation. The choreography was brilliant, as you'd expect. It started kind of quite gently and then just really picked up. When the routine finished, my son stood up and shouted, "She survived!" So he didn't drop it. That lift was really perilous.
It
and he didn't
really
drop
was.
It.
She did just the end bit. He had an arm out like a sort of, if you like,
oh,
like a
God,
strongman
that was
thing.
Brilliant.
And she just ran in like a monkey and just swung onto his arm and
like he
held
was a
it
tree.
In place. Yeah, like
obviously,
he was a tree.
He is so strong.
I actually.
He didn't even move.
I thought that was so great. I was like, oh, I really. I loved that. I loved that. That looked like the end of a West End big production. It was so pure-hearted and good and
fab.
Happy, and they looked like they were so pleased to be there doing it.
Completely.
And I thought Diane was unbelievable.
She's just adorable, isn't she?
Absolutely.
I love watching her, but I love watching them together as well. I think that they say it a lot, but he looks so at ease out there. He doesn't, if there are any nerves, anything going on underneath the surface, you can't tell with him. He just looks like he does this every day.
Absolutely.
He looks like a professional.
He's they've got the lucky thing as well, which is that a lot of the younger male dancers get with their partners, which is you are a young, fit, strong, tall man, and we will give you a tiny, lithe little nymph who has got hollow bones like a bird, and you will be able to do spectacular things. And they lived up to every moment of that.
Oh God, I love the choreography so much.
They got 4 9s for this, and I much preferred this to Kelvin's dance. I thought was so much more fun and fresh and just, I don't know, it did it for me in a way that pretty much everything else on this show didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to compare the skills of such different dances, but I think what Kelvin was asked to do in terms of fast footwork and sort of, you know, just physical dexterity, I think it was a harder dance than the one that Dev was asked to do, although he was phenomenal. And, you know, it wasn't the easiest choreography, but I think it... When a dance starts, I don't know, I'm always waiting for those two to get going because they just look so good together and they're so at ease with each other. I thought that bit with sort of jumping up on the sofa and back down off the sofa, they took a while.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I guess the build is all part of it, but I think Kelvin's dance, he was just thrown straight into difficulty central and it just kept getting harder.
Look, I agree with that. I think that's absolutely true.
But you enjoy this one more.
This one had pure, thrilling fun. I know this is strictly, you are judged on technical competence and things, but there is nothing clearer to the sort of pure power of what this show can be and what dance can be than watching two people do a dance that they love to an audience who can't get enough of it and it going spectacularly well.
It's intoxicating, isn't it?
I thought it was absolutely lovely.
Yeah,
I don't know why, if you're those judges, that you don't go, I was going to give it a 9, but actually, that deserves... The other thing is, tie it with Kelvin. Fix it in that way, fine.
Yeah.
But there is no way that on a show that gave 2 10s out,
I know,
that last dance did not deserve...
Why don't you end on a 10? A Bruno 10, at least, for God's sake, which we all know is worth a 9 for everybody else. Why not a Bruno 10?
Absolutely.
Come on, Bruno. He said, there's a new genie in the hood, which doesn't mean anything. Then I think he said genius because it did kind of.
You know. Hey, lamp you. That's all I got. I'm tired.
Sorry. It's a 2 hours. I'm knackered. In fact, he did tweet off the show saying, because I've obviously now followed them all on Twitter, uh-huh, that he was knackered and he was just unable to get out. He went straight home to bed. He was so tired.
No, oh, boo hoo hoo. Well, let's hope you never end up becoming a postman or dustman, Bruno.
But obviously, we know from the dance off, it was down to David and Nadia and Annika and Kevin. And I think we agree the right person did go.
Yeah. And I think David James, when I'd first sort of seen him dance, if you'd have said to me he'd still be here in week three, and actually I'd really be warming to him.
Yeah.
I'd have said, are you on Buck?
Yeah. He's on borrowed time still.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got many more episodes in him. He's going to be probably in the dance off again next week unless he does something crazy.
Yeah. And I think he'll be in the dance off with Baggins. I think it's.
You think it's Baggins' time?
I do.
I fear for Chris Ramsay. That's why I'm going to vote for him every week, and I urge you all to do the same.
I know. I mean, that worries me greatly.
This isn't the BBC. Like, we don't have to be non-partisan here.
No,
vote for Chris,
and I worry greatly about Chris Ramsay because there is an odd, almost like an institutional decision that he needs to be gone.
Which, you know what that means, the British public? It means we have to fight back. It means we have to call him Boating McBoatface, like the British idiots that we are.
Forzy McForza. but yeah, I mean, I do hope it's Mike Baggins because actually, Mike Baggins, do you know what? He's come along, he's shown the world, he's a bit of a giggle, he's had some memorable moments that Katya has choreographed, but I do not need to see it week in, week out.
No, I suppose you're right.
The thing I am worried about is once we do get past the David James and the Mike Baggins,
the cannon
two
fodder.
Best, I think that the problem there is, I think there's a number of weeks where really it could be anyone.
And like you said, that's when the Emma and Antons are in danger.
Yeah.
The slightly vanilla-y.
Yeah, but I think your Emma Weymouths and your just actually having to sit through to get rid of the people before we can start getting to the final is already slightly annoying me.
I know what you mean, that we are going to hit that annoying bit. It usually peaks around, well, sort of starts to peak around Halloween week.
Yeah.
Where it traditionally, everyone does dances, gets terrible scores, and it's just like one of the most depressing shows. Although I look forward to it every year, I forget how it leaves just this feeling of a total ennui by the end. It's like, oh God, no one really did their best. And that dance was crap. And why did she wear that costume? And on.
I like it because I do actually feel that in some ways Strictly brought back Halloween to Britain.
Yeah.
Which, because for years, I mean, obviously America has done it so well for years and years and years. I remember sort of like vague parents when I was growing up would try and do it, having seen it in America.
Some apple bobbing.
Exactly. And it would be, you know, or let's go to the garage. We've got a bin bag full of innards.
Yes. lovely.
We used to live in Gloucester, a little local Cromwell Street.
Oh my God.
And I do think Strictly brought back that sense of going, Halloween is a proper holiday for us to all enjoy, and I look forward to it for that reason.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. I think it's just it has a festive air about it. And any kind of week where they go, it's musicals week or it's something week, it's they could do with a couple more of those, actually. I think just throw everything they've got at it, because they're always the most fun.
I'd like avant-garde week, and I'd like flesh coloured bodysuit week.
No, just those morph suits.
Yes, either way,
you can't tell who's dancing, you have to guess. That's a good one.
I don't want that at the start when you've got all the people in their 60s still in it.
You body fascist.
Absolutely. If I want to look at terrible bodies, I can do mine round the clock. So it's goodbye, Annika.
Oh, sad but just, I think.
Sad but just, yeah. Mm. We'll put that on the little tombstones that we're making here in the studio. For
the little graveyard.
For every
It's a glittery graveyard.
It's a glittery graveyard. It's absolutely unacceptable, but it looks like a little pet graveyard. And we'll now add Annika's name to the latest little tombstone.
We will.
So until next week, thank you very much for choosing to listen to The Curse of Strictly.
Yeah, thanks for having us in your ear.
And if you get a chance and you fancy giving us a 5-star review, can't do 4, unfortunately, the buttons don't work, don't test it, then please feel free. We're mainly on iTunes, really helps us out, and more people who like, subscribe and leave a review, easier it is for us to carry on making more. So thank you very much,
and come and find us on Twitter. We're at The Curse of Strictly. No, at Curse of Strictly. Get it right, Julia.
Choose either one, follow both, but until next week then, keep
longer.
You're just gonna have to put it in a loop.
GreatBigOwl.com. Hello, I'm John Holmes, and yes, the last thing you need is another podcast that takes apart a television show and hacks through it like a cough going through a pensioner. Except wait, because this is the One Show, in which myself and my guests force ourselves to watch a week's worth of TV's The One Show and then analyse it all in far too much detail. It sounds like a terrible idea, and it is for us. But for you, it's entertainment gold that's all over a programme you yourself have no intention of ever watching. The One Show. Show Show, every Tuesday and Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.